So come on in. Let's stand for the Lord's word. You know, it's always lovely to hear that hubbub, you know, that energy of Christian fellowship. It's a wonderful thing. But as we look back at 2024, our society, it's in a complete mess, isn't it? There were multiple wars, threats of nuclear attack. Our borders are out of control, and financial insecurity with the markets was pretty rife. We've had medical issues, family problems, and a deep mistrust of government. Nothing seems constant or guaranteed. But I want to encourage you today, as we look forward to 25, that Jesus Christ doesn't change. He is constant, and we can trust him. Hebrews 13:8 says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. What a wonderful promise. So with that, let's just read Psalm 23. It should appear on the screen here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are our shepherd. Lord, that you laid down your life for the sheep. Lord, we praise you, we honor you, as we've just sung, Lord, all glory be to Christ. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for sending the Good Shepherd, the one who steers us through the life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, I pray for your anointing, Holy Spirit, to be upon me, but also, Lord, be with us, open our hearts and our minds to the challenge and to the encouragement of this great scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I love Psalm 23. It's one of my favorite parts of the Bible, the whole Bible. But you know, it really is. It's a beautiful psalm of encouragement at the start of the year, because really, as we look at it, it's not just a hope for the moment, it's also a hope for the future as well. It's a wonderful reminder of who our Savior is and our relationship as believers to him. It should give us confidence as we look forward into 2025. You know, I'm not sure what's going on in your life or what uncertainties are coming. Some of you may face medical challenges. Some of you might have family issues. But what we do get from this psalm is the reassurance and the promise of the Good Shepherd that he's never going to leave us and he's never going to forsake us. In fact, he's going to walk with us every step of the way through 2025. He's been faithful in 24 and all the years before that, hasn't he? So why would he stop being faithful shepherd to us now? Amen? So what I want to do is this morning we're going to go through the six verses and then we're going to have communion together. And what's interesting is that in this psalm, he is the great shepherd. But as we celebrate communion, he's also the sacrificial lamb as well. So in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd, really his chief purpose is to look after the sheep. And You know, I'm from Scotland. We have a lot of sheep in Scotland, and they're annoying things. I mean, they are so frustrating. I mean, there's parts of Scotland, you'll come on a road, and they block the road. In fact, sometimes they actually wait for a car to come, and then they decide to cross. They are stubborn animals, you know. But it's very interesting kind of reading this psalm. And, you know, we used to have a flock of sheep just across from our house. And you could walk past them, and they would pay no notice to you whatsoever. None at all. But if you were the farmer, if you were the shepherd, oh my goodness, they would run because the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Amen? And that's a good parallel for us this morning. As believers, we know the shepherd's voice. He says that. Sheep know me and they hear my voice. But a shepherd looks after the sheep. In fact, as I was preparing for this, kings of old, in fact, even some of the pharaohs were called shepherds of the nations. They would shepherd the nation that was under them. And so we know Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, guess what? He's also Shepherd of Shepherds as well, you know. But he is the great shepherd. And in that song that we just sang, so beautiful, but that we can trust in him. You see, the shepherd guides and he protects the sheep from harm. You remember how King David said that he would attend the flock and there would be wolves or bears or whatever, and he would fight them off. He would literally protect the flock of sheep that was under his care. So as a shepherd then, the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful and he's reliable. You can depend upon him. I will say this, that sheep, out of all the cattle, sheep need constant care. Cows, you can let them just get on with it, basically, right? But sheep need a lot of attention. And they're very fickle animals. Do you have that word here, fickle? Oh, yeah, you do. That's good. So I'm not speaking in tongues right now. Okay? Just want you to know. But no, they can be very fickle. They need that constant care. And it's the shepherd. He is the one who provides that care for his sheep. However, you know, he's not everybody's shepherd. Only those who have repented of their sins and put their faith in his shed blood for the forgiveness of sins can call him shepherd. Listen to this. This is Haddon Robinson wrote this, and when he was talking about Psalm 23, and it really kind of hit me, and I thought, no, this is absolutely true. He says probably the most important single word in this psalm is the little word "my." You can know that the Lord is a shepherd, but that will not do you much good. You can even understand that the Lord is the shepherd, the only one in the universe who can fully meet your need. But it is only when you have come to the place in your confidence in him, your trust in him personally, that you can sing with David of old, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It is then that you can affirm with the conviction based on God's promise, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let me ask you a question, something to think on. Is the Lord your shepherd this morning? He's mine. He's been my shepherd now for over 30 years. But is he your shepherd? Have you put your trust in him? Have you confessed your sins? Put your faith in him as your Savior? If not, all this is just a few nice words. But as we see here, there's It's a very important question to ask. Verse 2, the shepherd brings peace to our lives. You know, I love this passage of scripture. It reminds me, as a young guy, I used to be an outdoor instructor, and I have spent an inordinate amount of time hiking around in the Scottish hills. You know, probably somewhere in the region of about 200 hikes. And, but there was one time, and I remember, and I was in this beautiful spot. I'd driven a couple of hours, and I kind of walked into this lush glen, as we call it. You might call it a valley here. It was just lush and green. And it had this stream going through it, and the stream wasn't flowing. It was just at peace. It was like still. And you know, it was so peaceful that I didn't actually go on the hike that day. I just fell down and went to sleep. It was great. Slept for 2 hours, got up, felt totally restored, and went home. But he leads us into these quiet places. What does a sheep need? Well, he needs grass to eat, and he needs water to drink. And what's unusual about this psalm is it talks about that, to lie down in green pastures and beside still waters. Has anybody here been to Israel? Yeah, put your hand up. Yeah, some of you have been, right? Israel's not like Scotland. It's not lush and green, is it? You know, there's a lot of desert there. And so what that means is it's quite hard work for the shepherd to find those green pastures. In fact, I want to share this with you in my reading this week. Often the shepherds of Israel, they would go before the sheep, often a long time before they would move the flock. And they would go and they would like prepare the pasture. They would literally pull the rocks up from the pasture. They might even lay down essential minerals like salt. Like they would do this. Sometimes they might do this months before. They would go before the sheep and they would provide for them, for the safety and for the flourishing of the flock. Isn't that a beautiful image of what our Lord does for us this year? Let me just encourage you. He's going before you in 2025. He's already there. He already knows what's going to come, even if we don't. He is preparing the way. He's going to meet you there in your trial. He's going to meet you there in your need. He's the good shepherd. But this idea of peace there, you know, it's leading you into that place. I can tell you that a sheep isn't going to eat unless it's at peace. It just won't. If you have a predator, like a wolf or something there, I guarantee you that the sheep isn't going to eat. No, he's going to be alert. And yet here, what we see is that he makes the sheep lie down. He brings them into that place of peace. Just before Christmas, on Christmas Eve, actually, we were in Isaiah 9, and one of his names is Prince of Peace. What do you need peace for? What does your family need peace for at this time? He says in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. What are you afraid of? What are you troubled about? You can ask him. You can ask him, and he'll give you that peace. It's, you know, not just talking about a peaceful moment. I'm talking about bringing peace to your soul. Peace that surpasses understanding. I might have shared this before, but it's a good story, and pastors like a good story, you know. So I'm going to share it again. But during COVID, I was a senior pastor over in Pullman. My dad was away to pass, and it was at that time when President Trump was just a way to shut down every airport. And my mum got on the phone and said, and it came on really quick. It wasn't like a prolonged illness. I mean, it was literally one day he was fine, the next he wasn't. And my mum said, she got on the phone with these worrying words. She goes, yeah, your dad stopped eating. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. You know, as a pastor, you've been at the bedside of many a dying person. And that's one of the key signs. They stop eating and they stop drinking. So I suddenly realized, man, I've got this short window. And me and my dad were close. I was a nightmare as a teenager. But honestly, from about the age of 22, I can't even remember having a crossword with him. We literally just enjoyed each other's company. I loved them. And I knew he loved me. It was always in my mind, you see, I would have been at his bedside when he died. I'd have been there for him. It would have been an honor for me as a pastor to take his funeral. And yet, you know, so I spent all day trying to get a ticket. Sharon was not happy at all, right? Husbands, take note, listen to your wives, okay? They are full of wisdom. And the ticket cost me probably about four times the normal price. And she still didn't have any peace about it. I said, okay, look, I'm going to phone Customs and Immigration. So I phoned them and I said, look, I'm traveling back to Scotland. Got my dad's dying and all the rest. And yeah, Bill, that's okay. You're covered. You're on your green card. And then he said this, but we can't guarantee that you're going to get back. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, you could have a return ticket. And the reality is you could go to the UK. You would have to quarantine for 2 weeks. But you might not get back into the United States of America. We don't know how long the airports are going to be shut down for. And suddenly it kind of dawned on me. I'm never going to see my dad again. And so I sold my ticket. And it was unbelievably painful. I mean, I was literally in a fog. And after I said sorry to my wife, you know, for being stubborn. And I remember, and I was walking. I was up on a hill with a dog, you know, and I was just walking around. And my mind was just like completely numb. Couldn't comprehend this fact. And the peace of God just came upon me. The peace was there. So much so that I raised my hands and I started singing aloud. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Didn't make any sense. I should have no peace in that situation at all. But you see, in that trial of life, his peace is so real, isn't it? I know many of you can testify to that. That peace that surpasses all understanding in the darkest parts of our life. And he's there because the shepherd cares for us. He doesn't abandon the sheep. He doesn't, he walks with us. And he's there to care for us and to provide peace for us and that. So what do you need peace for? What are you troubled for? He's providing for our needs. You see, Jesus, as our shepherd, he not only knows you, your needs physically, but he also knows your needs spiritually. And he ministers to us by the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 3, he restores my soul. Amen to that. If you're a believer in the great shepherd, like I say, if you've repented of your sins, he has restored your soul this morning. He's forgiven you. As far as east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. He's restored us. And not only that, but he's restored us by reconciling us back to God the Father. If we've made peace with Christ, we've made peace with God the Father himself. And the Father looks at us and he no longer sees the sin in our life. He just sees the sacrifice of his Son. We are reconciled back to the Father. He's restored our soul. Isn't that beautiful? What a lot of confidence we can gain from that as we go forward this year. He's forgiven us, he's restored us, and we are redeemed. He ransomed for us. He paid the price for us, as we're going to go to communion in a few minutes, right? But he's restored us. What a joy, isn't it? You know, I remember a time when I wasn't a believer. I can tell you my soul was not at rest. I was a troubled man as a teenager. It was darkness. And, you know, but when I put my faith and trust in him, there was peace brought to my soul, a contentment in life. When the Holy Spirit came in, that satisfaction that I was restored, and the joy that he places in there as well, you know, it's a beautiful thing. He guides us in paths of righteousness. You know, I mentioned that time as a teenager. And this verse sort of came to mind. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14 says this. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You know, as before I knew Christ, man, I was headlong down that road of destruction. I was wanting everything the world had and more of it. And it was getting me nowhere except into spiritual darkness and loneliness and, you know, depression. And yet, you know, as I was focusing on this idea that he guides us in these paths of righteousness. I've been walking with the Lord now for 32 years. What a joy. What an honor it is to serve him, isn't it? That purpose he has for us. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It's true, isn't it? That he leads us in these paths of righteousness because the Holy Spirit is there in our lives, challenging us, convicting us, and keeping us on the straight and narrow. Aren't you glad that you've got a guide, a good shepherd who keeps us on the straight and narrow? I know many of us here, you know, we were on that broad road, weren't we? On that path to destruction. And yet, the benefit of his teaching, the wisdom of his counsel, and he steers us down these paths of righteousness. Verse 4. And I've shared this one before. My wife says, I'm not allowed to share it again, so I won't. But I will share the facts of the story. Verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And, you know, I can absolutely testify to that. When I nearly died, right? He is absolutely real. Jesus is real. He is alive. And he is the Lord of eternal life. And he is there right at the end of death. I can guarantee you that. And because I met him at that point. It's a reality. You know, physical death is nothing. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. You see, the thing is that he is real, but death is real as well. You know, I was 36 when I nearly died, right? But it's going to come to all of us at some point. Can I just say, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, he is going to be there for you. You don't have to walk through that valley of shadow of death on your own. You have a guide to walk you through. He's absolutely there. I have no fear of death whatsoever. I'm just here on borrowed time, right? till he's done with me. And then I'm with him. I have no fear of death. Why? Because he's never going to leave me. He's never going to be forsake me. I'm never going to be separated from his love. You know, I was trying to really sort of simplify this. And, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, one of our leisure pursuits is like, we like to take a ferry, don't we? We do. We like to take a ferry. We feel like we're going on an adventure or something, you know. Can you imagine if I turned up at the Anacortes ferry terminal and I didn't have a ticket? Do you think they would let me on the ferry? No. Yeah, take a hike. No, I would be rejected. But if I had a ticket, then I would get a place and I would get on the passage to my destination. Do you see the picture here? Jesus, in that sense, he's the ticket master. You see, he's the only one who can guide you across the valley of the shadow of death. Because he has defeated death. Because he's the only person in the world that has already walked that way and defeated it. There is no other guide. If you want to get safely onto the other shore, you must repent your sins, ask forgiveness, make him Lord of your life, and he gives you a ticket for eternal life. Is that clear? Yeah, I think it is, right? My ferry analogy. Yeah. But the Lord laid that on my heart. It's literally as black and white as that. But he says, and these are in his own words, and as we look at this, John 3, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. So in other words, when you're saved, when you're a believer, he's going to escort you there through the other side. But it also says this, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. We've shared this before from this pulpit, but in Romans 6 it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of is Jesus Christ, is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, right? So there's a penalty for our sin which has to be paid, and he has paid it for us. That's why we celebrate communion this morning. But if you haven't got Jesus as your advocate, then you still have to pay that death penalty. So what that passage is saying there is that in that valley of shadow of death, right, if you're a believer, there's nothing to fear. It's a time of rejoicing. You're going to be with him for eternity. He's the Lord of eternal life. You will be with Jesus Christ in heaven. But if he's not your shepherd, you have no guide. And you will be separated from him eternally in a place biblically called hell. Is Jesus Christ your shepherd this morning? You see how important that question is. Verse 5, as we come into communion here, but Jesus has defeated all of our enemies. Verse 5 says this, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, I'm not sure what enemies David was talking about there, but we know that the enemies that the Lord has defeated for us on the cross, right? He's defeated sin. He's defeated the grave. He's defeated death. He's defeated Satan and his demons. And he's defeated hell. So he's defeated all our enemies. Colossians 2 verse 15 says this, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross, totally destroyed. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's nothing. It's been defeated. And it's only on account of our trust and our faith in him that we can overcome these enemies. These are real enemies that need to be overcome. And he's the only one who can do it. And then we come into the verse 6 here. And just what a beautiful promise. You know, I mentioned at the start that this psalm, it's for now, but it's also for the hope for the future. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Think about the goodness of the Lord, even in the last year, but even in the past week. Think how good he has been to you. Think of his provision. Think of how much he loves you. It's so true. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then we get that beautiful promise, don't we? That wonderful hope. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing can intervene or take you away from him. He says this in John 10, verse 27 to 29. Just to share this, a quick sheep analogy here. I was over on the west coast of Scotland one time. And it was one of those places where the sheep are like all over the place. Like, you know, they run over the road. It's kind of fun to watch. But I remember I was out one morning and the shepherd's van came past. And my word, it was almost like the sheep came to attention. And they ran as one unit to this shepherd. We call him a farmer over there, right? Why? Because the sheep know his voice. They don't recognize the voice of a stranger. I was nothing to them. Passerby, bah, right? You know, no, but when the shepherd comes, when the farmer comes, the sheep listen to his voice. Listen to this. John 10, verse 27-29. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. May goodness and mercy follow us all our days. I'm going to ask Hardy and the worship team to come up just now. We're going to have a song before communion. And if you didn't get a cup when you came in, can you raise your hand? And the deacons, oh, there's a guilty suspect down here. Sorry. Just can't get the staff these days. Can you give a cup to my wife? Thank you. Not going to embarrass her. But does everybody else get a cup? Okay.